I wonder if you all had a chance and remember reading Randy's bulletin dated October 16th. Their wicker basket story. Oops, I see some people, yeah, some people, no. Okay. He couldn't tell us who wrote the article, and it was the first time I had seen it, and I've been around a while, so I've seen a lot of articles, and I always tell my young students that my bucket has a hole in it, and what I mean by that is you know, I've been reading the Bible for a number of years now, but I find that I forget a lot of things that I read in the Bible. And I read it, and it's gone. So I tell them my bucket has a hole in it, and the water is leaking out faster than I can put it in. And this bulletin was the story of a wicker basket, and a grandfather and a grandson. And the grandson was talking about reading the Bible because he saw his grandfather reading his Bible every day. And he said, "Granddad, I read the Bible, but I don't get anything out of it. I read it, and I forget what I've read. What's the point?" So his granddad said, "Well, take this wicker basket that we use for bringing coal into the house to keep the place warm, and go down to the creek, fill it up with water, and bring it back here." So, what did he do? He went down to the creek, filled it up with water, and by the time he got back to the log cabin, it was empty. So, his bucket had a lot of holes in it. It was a wicker basket. And so, he said, "Where's the water?" And the grandfather said, "Where's the water?" And he said, "Well, it ran out." And he said, "Well, you didn't come fast enough." So he went back down and he filled it up and he ran as fast as he could, but by the time he got to the house, it was empty. And he said, "You're not trying hard enough. You just have to run faster." And so the story ends with him still coming back with an empty wicker basket. And so Grandpa says, "Well, you think it was a useless exercise. Look at the basket." And the boy looked at the basket, and for the first time he realized that the basket looked different. Instead of the dirty old wicker coal basket, it was clean. Son, that's what happened when you read the Bible. You might not understand or remember everything, but when you read it, it will change you from the inside out. And then the moral is, take time to read a portion of God's Word each day. It will affect you for good, even if you don't retain a word. It fixes the inside. So that was the wicker basket story. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was teaching the Wednesday night high school class. I have some of the students here from the front row. And last quarter, Derek had started using some of David Banner's series called Bible 101, Bible Basics, basically. And they were just about finished with that, so we started the Bible 102. And the first lesson was Bible study habits. Are you satisfied with yours? And it talked about a fellow by the name of Chad. Chad was a 17-year-old. He was a good student in high school. He got good grades, A's and B's. And he was on the basketball team, and he was on the track team, and he also had a part-time job, and he was a pretty busy boy, young man, pretty busy young man. And he heard a sermon on studying the Bible given by me. And He was feeling a little guilty about the fact that he wasn't reading his Bible every day. And he happened to mention it to a friend of his, and he said, "Oh, that's okay. You know, right now you're young and you're athletic and you're getting good grades and you're working and you just don't have time for Bible study. That's something you can do later on." And that answer satisfied him, and so his friend really wasn't his friend. I stopped using this book because actually Mike and Kevin are going to be teaching the next quarter and a half Bible study and how to teach the Bible to the same group. So I said, wait a minute, we got to pick something else. So we are doing something else on our Wednesday night Bible class. So there's two, within a few weeks there was a couple of lessons that kind of reminded me about Bible study. And you all remember how we started off this year and the year before? The 90-day challenge, right? I had you in 2010, read the entire New Testament in 90 days. And everybody did pretty good there. And then this year we said, let's read the 150 Psalms and the 31 Proverbs in 90 days. Well, guess what? 2012 is coming. Yes. But let's digress a little bit, and then we'll get back to 2012. We saw Randy's bulletin. We saw the Bible 102, the 90-day challenge. And I was kind of searching the internet, and I found Luke Chandler had given a sermon on motivation for Bible study. And so I'm borrowing some of his lesson for us. Talk about motivation for Bible study. I don't know if you've had a chance to take advantage of a national park in Quincy where John Adams, President of the United States, writer of the Declaration, not the Declaration of Independence, but writer of the Constitution. Also, he wrote the Massachusetts State Constitution, after which the United States Constitution is patterned. And when I went through his house on tour, I noticed that he had a fantastic library. And in fact, here's a picture of his personal library, and I think this is not at his house. I think this may be at the Boston Library. I couldn't find out where it was. He had a lot of books. And if you've ever been to Mount Vernon, you can see Thomas Jefferson's library there, and it is huge. Okay. So, those gentlemen who were founders of our nation spent a lot of time reading books. And so, why did they read all these books? What was their motivation, you know, to spend all that time? I know they didn't have television. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have computers. They didn't have notebooks. They didn't have iPods and iBooks and iThis and iThat. So they had, you know, less time. So they read books instead. Maybe some of the books they had to read required reading. That's why we read sometimes. It's an assignment. We have to do it. Sometimes we're looking for ways to improve ourselves. Self-improvement books, self-help books. Sometimes we just read for pleasure. I mean, that's certainly one of the reasons for reading. Pleasure. You can learn things, you can be entertained. Maybe for your job, in order for you to move up the ladder, for you to do better in your job, you're reading books, manuals, etc. And there's just many reasons. And so we won't go into that. But you can understand why, if you're at home, you might have a lot of books on your bookshelf. You might go to the library a lot and borrow books from the library. And so you might spend time reading books other than the Bible. Now, we all know the value of reading the Bible. I mean, that isn't the reason maybe we don't read the Bible on a daily basis. I mean, there's material in here that says it's going to help us grow. Ephesians chapter 4, verses beginning in verse 11. I'll just read a little bit of the scripture to you, because we do have some time tonight. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's talking about what was provided by God. And it says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for good, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So Jesus provided us, and God provided us with apostles and prophets, and we have the Word of God. We have their writings that's here. The Holy Spirit provided us with this information, and it's useful to us for growing up, for growth in our spiritual growth, not physical growth, but spiritual growth. So we might read books to help us with physical things, job things, but this book is going to help us grow spiritually, and so we need to be studying it for that reason, reading it for that reason. Another reason, of course, is it guarantees it will help us with our salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. We turn there. And if you want to turn with me, that's okay. If you want to just sit and listen, that's fine too. The Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, says, till I come, give attention to reading. Timothy, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. So the information that's here, we read it, meditate on it, and it helps us with our salvation. Just like we're growing, so that Satan can't, by his cleverness, take us away and take away our salvation. One of my favorite passages is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And of course, this is the book that we were reading. You know, that was right there, one of the prominent passages in the Bible. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that word there, inspiration, is God-breathed. The information that we have in the Scriptures is God-breathed, inspired. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, these are the things we know. If we spend time in the book, we read it, study it, incorporate it into our lives, we'll be complete, fully equipped. And the last couple passages are found in 2 Peter, just telling us more of the value that is in the revealed Word of God, the Bible. And I think because we have time tonight, three short songs, I'm going to read all the way down to verse 8, starting in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtain like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge and of Jesus our Lord. A typical introduction letter written during this period of time. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful, but in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have all things pertaining to life and godliness. This is the book to be spending time in. Why aren't we more diligent in this area? Well, maybe we are. It's motivation. Are we motivated to read it, study it, meditate on it, incorporate it into our lives? Are we motivated to do other things with our time? There's a nice scene. In the field there are some sheep. If I, in the context of reading the Bible, talk about sheep, who's one of the prominent characters in the Bible that had something to do with sheep? Maybe I'll come up with different answers. I hope you come up with David. Young man, David, out in the fields with the sheep. What did he do with his free time with the sheep? Well, you can look at these Psalms and you get an idea of how spending time with the sheep out there alone influenced them. One of my favorite Psalms, and maybe you've heard me sometimes open prayer with it, is Psalm 8. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, you who set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have ordained strength, because your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have made him all things under your feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We don't have the benefit of seeing the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, as David did. And that's because we live too close to the city, and our cities have and our industry is producing a lot of particulate matter. So we have particles in the sky, and we have electric lights, and so we suffer from light pollution. And so our sky is sort of brightened by all of the city around us. I live in Groton, which is pretty far away from the city, but I can see the lights of Nashua from my home. I see a bright spot where Nashua is. Okay. And that brightness that's there prevents me from seeing the stars that are overhead. I've been out in the desert, Arizona, Prescott, Arizona, which is at a higher elevation, and on a cold winter night when it's very dry, and we get some of those here, but nothing like there. The sky is totally covered with specks of light. I mean, it's just, when Abraham was told, you're going to have descendants like the stars in the heavens, you know, he thought of a big number. We can relate to that because he also said, like the sand on the seashore. As long as you're not in Maine, you might know what sand by the seashore is. Okay, lots of grains of sand the further south you travel. And so that image is what David saw every night. Jerusalem is like a desert. You know, that area, Israel, is kind of a desert area. And so I'm sure he had this fabulous night sky. And you just can't help but contemplate, why are we here? What's the purpose? And it brings you really close to realizing there is a creator. And so these kinds of things had influence on David as he spent time in the fields with his sheep. Now he had work to do. He had to tend the sheep. He had to rest. He had to practice slingshot. I mean, he's a pretty good shot, wasn't he? I mean, that's the first encounter you find, is that he can hit somebody right in the head with a slingshot. He had time to think, and he had time to write songs and sing, things like that, and pray to God. Okay. So here's a man of God. Here's a man who the Bible says was a man after God's heart. And yet we know he wasn't perfect. There was sin in his life. And he suffered the consequences of sin, but he still was right with God. And so that's an encouragement to me, because I know there's sin in my life. We try not to sin. I don't want to sin, but there is sin. In fact, 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we lie. So none of us can say here, I'm not a sinner. I'm a forgiven sinner. And so we want to be like David. But why? What do I choose to do with my free time? I don't care if you're rich or poor, or whatever your status in life is. We all have one thing in equality, 24 hours a day. You know, some people don't get 23 and some get 26. No, we get 24. That's it. One rotation of the earth is the same for all of us, no matter where we are. We all have that. How do we use the free time that we have? I venture to say is, when we get some free time, we do what we want to do, what we like to do. What we like to do. We make time to do what we like to do. We make time to do what we want to do. And if we don't want to read the Bible, but we want to read the Bible, then what we've got to change is what we want to do. It's something we want to do. It has to be something that's internal in us that says, I want to read this book. It's like a good book. I want to read it. That series that came out, those 7 books that everybody wanted to read, couldn't hardly wait till the next volume would come out. People would stand in line to get that first copy. They wanted to read the next volume in that book. Do we want to read this book that same way? We need to have that inside us. That's what we need. That's the motivation we're talking about. You know, Moses, when he's speaking to the children of Israel, 40 years after they were released from Egypt, what did he tell them as he repeated himself in Deuteronomy? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That just about covers it, doesn't it? Heart, soul, and strength. He said, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's motivation. That's where we need to get our minds in that state. Just some other things that were said. Joshua, after they went into the land, said, take careful heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. To love your God, the Lord your God. To walk in his ways. Keep his commandments. To hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And when the Bible uses the word heart, we're talking about that inner driving force. You can think of your brain, your mind, the things that control your actions, okay, and your soul. That's deep within you. A few more New Testament now. Jesus repeats what Moses said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So we have heart, soul, strength, mind. And John wrote, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. So it's not just saying I love God, but it's demonstrating how we live. Do we spend time dwelling upon his word? So it's our actions that count. And one final New Testament scripture. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Okay? I think we're getting close to the end. Love God, therefore, as we look at all these scriptures that we've kind of looked at, I think we would conclude that we're being told, love God with our heart, soul, strength, and mind. I think we're also told to serve God with heart and soul. And we're told to love the begotten of God, to love Jesus in this same way and keep his commandments. You know, Solomon, man of great wisdom, he was very special. When he was young and became king, he was very concerned about having the responsibility of ruling this great number of people. And God said, make a request and it shall be granted. And he didn't ask for, I want to be powerful, I want to be rich and wealthy, I want to have a big harem. He didn't ask for those kinds of things. He said, I don't know much. I need wisdom. I've been given an awesome responsibility and I need to know how to live my life to rule these people. And we should be thinking the same way about ourselves with our relationship with God. We don't have all the answers, but we do have the answers here, written in his Word. And Solomon, with his wisdom and his wealth, had no limitations. He could spend his free time doing whatever he wanted to do. Now, we have limitations. If you love to travel, but you haven't got any money in your pocket, your traveling is going to be how far you can go on your feet. If you have a bicycle, well, maybe you can go a little bit further. But that's about it. Solomon did not have that limitation. If you want to travel to the other side of the world, and you want a private jet to take you there, if you had the wealth of Solomon, you could do it. If you want to go into outer space, you can do it, because you would have the wealth that Solomon had. He tried everything. But when he got all through with doing all of this, he basically kept saying over and over again, vanity, vanity, it's vanity, it's empty, it's useless. And he concluded this: when all has been heard, it's fear God and keep His commandments. And this applies to every person. There are no exceptions. The message is fear God and keep His commandments. And that's what we've been seeing. So, why study the Bible? Why study it? What is the motivation? Well, we saw that we can grow up, we can have salvation, we can be adequately equipped, we can be useful and fruitful, and the Bible contains all things pertaining to life and godliness. But none of this is sufficient unless we first and above all love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this is Luke's slide. That's why it kind of automatically punched all that stuff out there. I don't know how to do that. But this was the conclusion of his lesson. Okay. Love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You do that, you'll be motivated to spend time in the book every day. And that's kind of, you know, how we started out, as I started out this lesson tonight. What got me into this kind of frame of mind to talk about these things was I thought about the 90-day challenges that we've been involved in the last couple of years, Randy's bulletin about the keeping our baskets clean, and the class that we taught on Bible study habits and the value of Bible study and motivation. But as I said, 2012 is coming soon. Believe it or not, I mean, it's almost November. And November and December will be gone in a flash. So, what's the challenge for 2012? Let's read the whole Bible. The whole Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. In a year. Now, over the past few years, I've been publishing this, I get it off the internet, 5-day Bible reading program. I don't have the 2012 version, but the 2011 version will work. It's just the dates won't be right. There'll be one day off or something like that. And what's nice about this plan is if you, for some reason, miss a day, you've got a couple days extra to make it up. So here's a 5-day plan. Scriptures to read. They're a combination of Old Testament and New Testament. You read some of these verses every day, and for 5 days, for 52 weeks, you will have read the entire Bible in 1 year. There are many plans out there. There's a Bible that's put together called the Daily Something or Other. It's organized a little differently, but it has a plan in it. You go on the internet, you can ask me, I'll come up with different plans. This happens to be the one that seems to work best for me. So, that's our challenge. We're going to read the Bible in 1 year. You've been warned. Why not get started now? Hey, you can slip a little bit more. You get an extra 2 months, 14 months to read the entire Bible. I need to motivate myself, so that's why I gave this talk. It's been a while since I've sat down and read the entire Bible in a year. And so, you know, like they say, when you point the finger, you got, what, 3 pointing back at you, so at least 3. And so, I may be pointing my finger at you, but I'm pointing 3 at me. So that's what we want to do. You've been really good. And like Don Truex kept saying, great listeners. They're engaged. And I can see you've been engaged. And that's great. Makes it easy to stand up here and talk to you. We always take the opportunity when we're here to invite people to obey the gospel of Christ. You don't have to read the whole Bible to find that out. Very quickly you can find out that you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to be willing to confess Him before men. You need to be willing to turn away from your sins. Repentance is what it's called. That's really one of the challenges of becoming a Christian, is repentance. We make changes. We're going in the wrong direction, we've got to change. We've got to go in the right direction. But just like David, you know, once we get moving in the right direction, God is there to help us along the narrow path that leads to heaven. And you need to have your sins washed away by being immersed in water. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a Christian, but you've been spending more time away from the book, and you want us to pray that you'll be motivated to spend more time reading the Bible. And if that's your situation, or if there's anything else, that our prayers would help you staying closer and getting closer to God. Either way, now's the time to let us know, or let us know afterwards. We just make it convenient as we stand and sing. Number 630.